That's not our LNS though, is it? It's not.
It is LNS, dude.
Well, if there's
like this thing,
it's rotating.
No, I took an auto track.
Oh, okay.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Wow, look at that, man.
Look at that.
The Pentagon recently released footage of what they called UFOs, though they meant it in the true meaning of the word. They had video of objects flying at high speed, which they claimed they couldn't explain. Looking at the footage, I couldn't help but notice how retro and dated it all seemed. And when I browsed the reactions on social media, I saw that I wasn't the only one. In fact, the general consensus seemed to be that the UFOs and the grainy black and white footage were a bit naff and a bit cringe. There was a few people saying it was the government directing people's attention away from current world realities, but mainly people reacted with cynicism and mockery. And it seemed to me that 30 or 40 years ago, footage like that release would have seemed earth-shattering to the people around at the time. A revelation, or at least something which stirred up a lot of debate and discussion. Yet it sank within a few hours and nobody cared, except to laugh at how dated it all seemed. Where do UFOs fit into today's culture, that makes you ask? You don't seem to hear much about them anymore. They do indeed seem to be a cultural artifact from a bygone age. 1950s America mainly, and the Midwest of America at that. Farmers seeing strange lights and odd shapes in the clouds. Maybe a new secret weapon from the government was testing out. And in the background, the Cold War played out, and all those unidentified and unexplained objects may well have been the godless commies spying on the good folk of Idaho. The zeitgeist that spawned the UFO had many component parts, not just the Cold War, but the fact that space missions were actually being launched. Western man's horizons were expanding into the void, as was his scientific expertise. Throughout the second half of the 20th century, man began to realise his smallness in the universe, and through the threat of nuclear war, his vulnerability as well. We had just one planet, and that planet was nothing but a mote of dust and a vast godless nothing. And popular scientists like Carl Sagan promoted the smallness of man to massive audiences. According to people like Sagan, a nuclear war on Earth would be the end of life on Earth. But to the universe, it'd be not much more than a match going out. It was meaningless and insignificant. Even science fiction as a popular form came into its own during these decades. And it's fair to say, Hollywood actively encouraged the UFO hysteria. But then again, scientists did actually have perfectly sensible arguments that life did actually exist elsewhere in the cosmos. It was just a numbers game, really. The chances of primitive life emerging on a planet were tiny, let alone advanced intelligence. But the universe was so massive, and there were so many planets out there that life, and even life more advanced than human, was a statistical certainty. Believing in aliens was therefore rational, once you knew the numbers and scales involved. In Hollywood movies of the era, the UFOs and aliens were very often just a stand-in for the Soviet Union. On a more sophisticated level, it questioned whether the government was to be trusted, as in the Area 51 and Roswell conspiracies, or the idea that UFOs were advanced spying equipment. Or maybe it was the fact that alien life probably was out there, according to the scientists. But in every case, it spoke to an us and them mentality. We knew who we are. We also knew who we're not. But we do know we're vulnerable, whether from atom bombs or a death ray. On another level, it speaks to an outward-looking civilization reaching its furthest expanse, encapsulated by the question, are we alone? The culture surrounding UFOs and aliens went mainstream in the 90s. X-Files turned the deep lore into one of the most popular cultural products of the era. But with the 90s came Generation X, and with Generation X came irony. Lots of irony. Now the 50s would be looked back at with a knowing smirk and wink. It was lovable kitsch with terrible special effects. Every theory had been turned into a t-shirt and series which could be watched on primetime TV. Existential threats had become easy-to-watch entertainment. The UFO was either a bin laid on a piece of string to be laughed at, or a 20 miles across CGI monster that could blow up whole cities. How could questions about aliens and conspiracies be taken seriously in the age of South Park and The Simpsons? The Simpsons creators even produced a spin-off called Futurama, which mined the rich vein of ironic nostalgia that the 90s ushered in. Who could seriously consider the idea of alien abduction in an age when Cartman on South Park gets abducted and then anally probed by a UFO and aliens? The Cold War had ended, and we'd supposedly reached the end of history. Yet if 1998 was the end of history, it seemed like the West, and especially America, would spend eternity laughing at the past while increasingly fearing their own governments. But even that didn't escape the irony. The 90s were marked by self-awareness, by people being taken outside of their narratives and being made conscious of their own cliché. The fact that the X-Files promoted a theory that amounted to the government covering up aliens speaks to an age of comfort and even naivety, an era without a founding event, or an era waiting for a founding event. How quaint Roswell seemed now. All those poorly shot photos of clouds and what was probably geese and spy planes. Now in 2001, we got the event from multiple angles and in high definition. Only 46% of Americans believe the official 9/11 narrative. The arrival of the internet meant everyone could have their own theory or even create their own theory depending on their own biases and politics. And not just on the subject of 9/11 either, but on everything. And what's more, history can be rewritten and interpreted as anybody feels like. With one or two exceptions. Not everything in post-modernity is up for revision, but almost everything is. This is then reinforced in a digital space, a bubble, or what they call an echo chamber. But look at the difference between today's counterculture and the age of the UFO. It's the contrast in outward-looking and curious people with a confused and inward-looking people. If the big question of the age of the UFO was, are we alone? The question of the digital age is, who are we? Physicist Michio Kaku once said that the way humans on Earth behaved in relation to space was tantamount to suicide. Earth, he said, was a very noisy planet which belched out radio waves across space and actively signalled to any potential aliens where we were and how to find us and what we looked like and what we ate and what we breathed. Right now, old episodes of Dallas and Knight Rider are wafting past distant planets in the solar system. But we hardly should have worried too much, really. The more digital Earth becomes, the quieter we get. Again, we're turning inward, and the new frontier exists in cyberspace, not actual space. Bygone generations in the middle of the 20th century had the endless void and its mysteries impose itself upon them. The UFOs are a manifestation of that. The human population who now mainly live in cyberspace have it impose itself on them as well. But there's a difference. Are we alone? And who are we? People from somewhere travelled across Arizona looking for UFOs in the night sky. People from anywhere gaze into the void of cyberspace. In the digital realm, there are infinite numbers of theories and ideologies and infinite hot takes debunking each and every one of them. Ideas pile up like heaps of rubbish, and we can sift through them, seeing which one fits, which one is comfortable. It isn't so much that truth doesn't exist, but that everyone has their own truth. The mythology of the UFO is just one narrative in the junk pile of post-modernity. It isn't as immediate as the coronavirus lockdown, and it isn't as seismic as 9/11. It just doesn't really matter anymore. It's irrelevant. It's cringe. Is there life in the stars? Who cares? It's something to be pondered over before moving on to a new TikTok video. The big questions have no right to any more importance than whatever is trending on Twitter. Ideas and concepts in cyberspace are like objects in real space. They operate without gravity. In the digital space, you can be anything you want, but what's more, you no longer need to drive a pickup truck across a scenic landscape to see the universe. Now you can command your own space empire without even leaving your bed. On the same year Voyager 2 left the solar system and entered deep space, we saw men competing with women in lifting competitions because we lost the ability to define even the most fundamental aspects of identity. And yet Voyager carries with it, on board, what they call a golden record, explaining some basic facts about planet Earth. The golden record symbol of humanity is a European man and a European woman standing naked side by side. Today, most European men and women probably don't know or care that their symbolic form is hurtling through interstellar space at 15 kilometers a second. They're too busy looking into cyberspace. And anyway, what is a European? What is a man? What is a woman? It's almost to compare two completely different civilizations, yet they're just a few decades apart. One outward looking and curious, one introverted and confused. Are we alone versus who are we? What I find fascinating about all of this is that the people in the culture who gave up on big questions can't actually make themselves disappear completely. The big questions confronted by a previous generation were never solved. People just got kind of bored. Maybe the Pentagon's footage was just a PR con trick. It doesn't matter. It was just a story for half a day, then submerged in videos of people dancing and whatever social justice nuttery was on social media that day. But the big existential questions exist in an external framework. The fact that they've ended up on the junk pile of postmodern nihilism speaks more about us than the questions themselves, which are still out there.
Thank you.